Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime, or maybe something special. Just a quick reminder, we are an Need for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Austin, and also our special guest that we promised last week.
Oh, you already promised this. I didn't realize this was planned. I thought this was like surprise.
I was gonna cut it out if you weren't able to join us.
Oh, okay.
But he is. He's back, better than ever. Hi, Jacob.
Yes, Jacob 2.0 is here. I'm here. I'm jumping in. Austin and Alex were nice enough to let me accompany them for this episode. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. For anybody who may be newer to the podcast, Jacob was one third of our outfit when we originally started this journey, so we're glad to have him back. He took a long sabbatical, so we finally managed to get you back on. We booked your special guest appearance weeks ago.
Yes, and after about, like, how long has it been? About 40 minutes of trying to get Discord to work, we're finally here.
We've figured it out, and so we're glad to have you back on. Let's talk about what's been going on. I mean, it's been so long.
It has been a long. A few more gray hairs, I guess.
Oh, God, me too. Oh, my God.
Really? I was kidding. Are you really?
Yes. Having...
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, we weren't kidding. We were not kidding. We have gray hairs.
I forget y'all are older than me.
2 years.
Ha ha.
I've just been raising a child. No easy deed, but it is a deed indeed. What else has been going on? That's probably the main thing. Yeah, watching this life form grow and develop right in front of my eyes. It's been a real treat. She's a fun little child. She really is.
Oh my gosh, she is fun. She's funny.
Yes, she is. It's like we've hit the fun point now because she's walking and running and like we're kind of past, like I was telling Austin yesterday, we're past the maintenance phase really. Now we're like playing and just getting involved more and it's just fun. It really is. Austin can relate. She just runs around and screams and plays all day. It's like, that's what we do. It's like an 8-hour shift
so
at work.
Sweet. Well, sounds fun. I am surprised you aren't the one with the gray hairs raising a kid and all that, but you know.
Just for men, it's really handy. They got those little pins now. You just rub it right in and it just blends all in.
Just Sharpie your hair. That's cool.
Yeah, Sharpie my hair. That's right.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get one of these Sharpies out right now. Hold on.
Yeah, you're going to need more
Austin,
than that.
Austin, you have those wood pens, those like drawing pens where you can like fill in a scratch with like different shades of the brown, so you could just color your hair like that.
No, I gave it back to my mom.
Oh, you did? Oh, dang.
Yeah.
I'll have to go buy my own pens instead of bumming them off of you.
I had to do that a lot, Austin, so I get it. Scratches on the hardwood floor, you gotta color them in really quick.
Well, this is really exciting. We have not only Jacob, our special guest, but we also have a special episode this week. If you guys are out of week talk things to talk about.
Let's go ahead and jump in then. Let's do it. Unless Austin had something. He looked like he was about to say something.
I will just say yesterday I hung out with Leslie and Jacob and their little bundle of joy. And it was kind of funny because I kind of had shopping to do, and Jacob and Leslie were like, no, you can't leave.
You can't
leave.
We
need adult company. I was like, oh, okay. So I stayed there like a couple hours more than I intended.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, we don't get much company these days.
Like, it was really funny, you guys.
It's funny. Something about having a child kind of turns people off to hanging out with you. Some, I get it. I really get it. I'm not saying that it's like a poor me kind of thing. I get it, but... So it was really nice having Austin over yesterday. So we enjoyed your company and wanted you to stay. Take it as a compliment.
I do. I'm always glad to hang out. I mean, like, I get it. Not everyone's a baby person. But, you know, I don't think it's a detraction at all. I think it's more, like, fun. It's like, oh, you got more things going on. You got things to party with.
Yeah, it's more of, like, on the parents, it's kind of like you just want to be a good host, too. And, like, so if you're, like, constantly chasing this child, you feel bad because you feel like you're neglecting your guest in a way. So that was some of it for me, because I was like, if I invite somebody over, like, I want them to have a good time. I don't want to feel like I'm just bringing them over and like ignoring them.
I did not feel ignored at all.
Oh, good.
But also, you know, I'm not a parent, so I find it really interesting to see a household that has a little one running around. It's like, okay, this is like not my reality. It's kind of fun to visit
Uncle Austin.
That's right, Uncle.
Well,
a.
We had some conflict.
What did you do? Oh my gosh.
Oh, Jacob, is it okay if I tell a story?
You can. I don't think you did anything wrong, though.
No, I don't think I did either. But it was funny because she motioned for me to hold her, and I didn't understand what the context of that was. I thought she was pointing behind me, and I'm like, what? What's behind me? And I looked all around, and I turned back, and she's like really upset because I don't want to hold her. She starts to cry.
I know. She's like, oh, my God. What are you not like understanding what I'm trying to tell you? This is very clear.
Yep.
She thought you didn't want to hold her. That's aw.
Oh, well.
I hope you fixed that, Austin. I hope you got the point.
No, she was done with me after that.
Oh, you ruined your one chance.
Yeah, she holds a grudge. You get one opportunity, and if it doesn't stick, it's over. So, Austin, you're probably never going to have a relationship with her now. So
yeah, you ruined it.
You ruined it.
You know what? I can relate with her. I'm the same way. Piss me off, and I'm done with you.
You're done with
me. One chance. It's all right. Bring her something nice next time. Give her a treat, and I'm sure she'll forget all about your transgression.
Oh, I already got her Christmas present lined up.
Gosh, Austin always has been so good at that. He's always like shopped way early in advance. Meanwhile, I'm over here scrambling like last minute, like, oh, I don't know what to get somebody.
Alex, she really wants a PS5, so if you could
okay,
throw that in there, that'd be
all
great.
Right, I'll pencil that into my list. Okay, cool.
Yep. See, she told me she wanted a Switch too.
Well, she can want more than one console, right? I mean, that's what Christmas is for.
You're setting her up to be a gamer for life.
Yeah, trying to. We don't even have any games around here like we used to. Like, I got to get back into it.
I imagine you have less time.
When I get my Switch 2, we can have a Kirby Air Ride party and a Mario Kart party.
Okay, cool. All right.
It'll be entirely Leslie and Jacob get to play the video games for a few hours.
You two can watch the kid.
Yeah, you need a break.
That's right. Hope you guys are okay in there. We're almost done. Another couple hours.
Oh, gosh. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. But, Jacob, we're glad that everything's going well and that you had some time to spend with us this afternoon. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah, you are welcome on the pod anytime.
Exactly.
Yes. I don't want to promise anything, but maybe some more frequent.
So, any other things that anybody wants to share or talk about?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
I got this rash on my lower arm. Does anyone want to take a look at that?
Oh my God, it's heinous. Your arm's definitely going to fall off, Austin.
I do have that toenail that no one wants to see.
Nobody wants to see your toenail, okay?
He tried to show us that yesterday, Alex, and he was like,
oh God.
He kept bringing it up, and I was like, nobody wants to see like a naked toe. Like, I want, you know.
Okay. I just think it's so interesting. How often do you see a toenail that's not there anymore? I'm just
not supposed to. That's the problem.
Oh my God. I'm going to go over to see Austin later, and I might be ambushed with a toe in my face. So please, God.
You have
God.
Not been ambushed. That has not happened.
I could be. There's always a first time for everything.
This is on topic, but it's kind of random too. Do you remember that commercial? It was like people who had a toe fungus under their nail, they had like this, the fungus would come on the commercial screen and he'd be like, oh, it looks like my cave is ready or my home is ready. And he would go up to the person's foot and like lift up their toenail and then dive under.
I do remember this. Yes. I do remember this commercial.
That commercial made me throw up when I saw it. I was like, oh my God. Like, I could feel the pain from that like fungus lifting the toenail up and like diving under. I was like, oh, like I couldn't watch it. I had to turn it off. Like,
Ugh. Yeah, and so did everybody else listening to this podcast. They just clicked out right now.
Yes.
Well, try smashing your toe to smithereens and having the blood and the pain everywhere.
Okay, see, I forget. Did you say you were or were not wearing closed-toed shoes when you were on the ride?
I was wearing sneakers.
So how did this happen? I don't understand.
I just bashed the shit out of it.
So Austin needs to wear steel-toed boots everywhere he goes?
Ooh, can you imagine OSHA. Me? Ooh.
Could you?
Urban cowboy.
God, I don't know how this happens.
All right, who wants to talk about Pokemon?
Yeah, how do we transition? Jacob, quick, you're the master at transitioning.
Instead of flipping under a toenail, let's flip under the pages of Pokemon and get right into the script of this next short.
God.
Okay, great.
A for effort on that one.
Been missing Jacob's transition. I think it's been a problem.
I'm a little rusty. Give me a second.
Jacob, it's been a really tough role to fill. A shoe, if you will, to fill.
Hey.
So. Like that woman.
What?
She lives in a shoe, right? Like the woman who lives in a shoe.
Oh, I thought we were filling the woman. Okay.
Whoa, Austin. Did I mention this was E for explicit? I don't know how crazy that this podcast is going to go. It might go off the rails. I'm not sure. Just like Austin's foot, it went off the rail and got smashed. Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, Alex, you really nailed it there.
Whoa. Oh, God. You know, sometimes you got to toe the line, but sometimes you got to go outside the box. So
y'all are so good at this. Oh, my God.
Also, you could just leave now. Me and Jacob got this.
I can feel it. I'm going to go put on my dancing shoes and dance on out of here.
Gotta dance.
Put them on right or you're going to lose another toenail.
Make a wish, Austin. Wish for a new toenail.
It's coming. But it'll only take 7 days.
And then another 1,000 years after that. So hurry up. We have a very special episode. We are talking about the movie. What number is this? I lost track.
Number 6.
6. Jirachi Wishmaker.
Are we doing the short first, or are we doing the movie?
Yes. I think this is going to be a very contentious conversation, because Alex indicated that she was not a fan of this short.
I wasn't the biggest fan, no.
What did you think, Jacob?
I mean, it was okay. I don't know, it felt very, like, Looney Tunes-y.
Yes, Scooby-Doo or something.
And that's why I loved it.
But it was so repetitive.
True.
In my opinion. Do you have any background on this? Like, why don't we jump into, like, what this whole thing is about?
I don't know anything about the production of this other than it's the last Pikachu short before a movie for quite some time.
Really?
Yes. This is the last one for the next, like, 8 years or something like that.
Wow. That's pretty surprising.
And, I mean, clearly this was all based around the fact that they wanted to promote the song.
I wasn't a big fan of the song.
Well, too bad, because you're going to hear it for 20 minutes straight.
I know. Have all shorts, I feel like it's been a while since we did a movie episode. Have all the shorts been this long before? Probably.
Oh, it just felt longer than it usually did for you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It felt long. It was definitely repetitive. Like, it was, oh, we're not dancing. I mean, I get it's called Gotta Dance. Like, I knew that was going to be, like, the main theme or thing going into here. It was like, oh, we really have to dance. We really have to.
It's like an inverse Footloose, where instead of you're not allowed to dance, it's you have to be dancing at all times.
It's like a Squid Games. If you don't dance, you just get blasted off or killed or something. It's like that.
What are those dancing shoes that make you die?
Dancing shoes that make you die?
Yeah, isn't that like a folktale of like, you put on the shoes, they make you dance, and you dance until you die?
I know there was, like, the dance fever in, like, wasn't it France in some early century where everybody was... Or no, that was the laughing. Or no, were they dancing?
I thought that was dancing. Yeah, they were dancing. It was the dancing.
They were just having a hysterical moment, and people, like, actually died.
It turns out that they went to go make, like, soup, and they put in, like, this cordyceps that, like, mind melted everybody, where they danced, and they forgot to eat and do everything else, and they just died.
I have some background. So this is a real thing. If you guys are listening, thinking, like, what the hell are they talking about? This is the Dancing Plague of 1518, a case of dancing mania that happened in Strasbourg, Alsace. I'm probably saying that wrong. Modern day France, basically. Oh my God, this went on for months, July to September of 1518. And there was a theory that the most popular being, it was stress-induced mass hysteria. Or, oh yeah, you were right, Jacob. It was a fungus.
Mm. Yep.
Ergot poisoning, traditionally due to the ingestion of alkaloids produced by Claviceps purpurea, a fungus. Oh, wow. Okay, well, let's jump in. This is, what's the short called again? Gotta Dance, right?
Gotta Dance.
Gotta Dance.
And I have the randomizer.
Oh, Lord. So what's that for?
That's for who's going to do the 30-second summary for it.
I hope it's Jacob. Please let the randomizer.
It is Jacob.
Jacob! No!
And then Alex is doing the full summary. So get ready, Alex.
Oh, perfect. That's just what I wanted in my life. Okay.
Okay, so let me. There's like a machine that makes them dance, right? Just to make sure I got like the right thing going on here.
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right, get ready to dance in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Team Rocket's built this site that's, I guess they got like some dance ray where they're, it's to make Pokemon dance, and they're going to capture Pokemon with it. And so like Pikachu and all the other crew come in there, and it gets activated, and so everyone just starts dancing, going hysterical. Eventually, the dancing goes too crazy, and the construction site collapses, and then all the Pokemon who were captured are now freed, and, like, Meowth has totally destroyed millions of dollars of construction material in, like, 20 minutes.
Time.
So, yep. Woo! There we go.
Wow, Jacob's got his groove back. So, we are somewhere. I have no idea where they are. Like, where would this possibly have taken place at?
Modern-day France.
France. I mean, let's just go with that. They're in Kalos. Okay, sure.
They found the mushrooms.
Oh my God.
That's what caused this.
They're tripping out on mushrooms. Yeah, so Pikachu and just a sampling of the other Torp Pokemon. I think it's what? Just Torchic, Mudkip, Treecko, and Lotad? And Pikachu?
Yeah, Corphish was dearly missed during this.
Yes, it would have been so much better if he was there, but he was not allowed, I suppose. They're hanging out in some dead tree, playing around. I don't know. And Meowth is watching them, and he's like, this is how my life was ruined, and I will tell you the story. I just want to point out, I really appreciate Treecko's commitment to, like, being in that lounge position, because I think he, like, falls, and he's still, like, lounging backwards. He doesn't even move.
He's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy.
He's like the James Dean of Pokemon.
How did they fall through the rock? I can't remember how they, like...
It was a really shitty CGI rock that falls to pieces as soon as you touch it. That's how.
They, like, fell into a rock. I don't really know. It was really jarring, to be honest, having the hand-drawn animation, and then it takes you out of it completely when you see this horrendous CGI. But they fall through this horrible rock, and they see a heinous-looking building that's built on, like, stilts off of the side of a cliff. And it looks like a bunch of dye, like, playing dye, stacked on top of each other. I'm not really sure why they went with this aesthetic choice, but
Giovanni likes to gamble.
It must be. Is this supposed to be their new, like, gambling casino in the mountains or something? I guess this is their secret base.
Yeah, it ties in with the little storyline from the show where they're trying to build a Hoenn secret base branch.
This is it.
Apparently so.
I guess they just found whatever, like, slapdash construction materials. They just built this thing. It looks like a child's, like, Lego set. Yes, Jacob.
I still, like, take on the theory that nobody takes Jesse and James serious. So they kind of just, like the actual casino is, like, on the other side, and they're just like, you guys go build something over there and distract the kids with blocks while the people are actually building stuff here.
The real adults.
That's what I think is going on.
So Jesse and James do make an appearance. They have speaking lines. We don't see their faces. They have them conveniently covered up by some party materials. So you just see their, like, legs or whatever. And they tell Meowth that he's in charge as they leave, because they are going to go greet Giovanni where he's like flying in from. So he's like, we have to go. We're going to meet, you know, schmooze with Giovanni and then bring him back here. So you're in charge. Don't fuck it up.
That's a sequence of scenes I want to see.
I know. I'm so sad we didn't get the cutaway. What would that even have gone like? What do you think?
Jesse and James being fools in front of Giovanni and being like, sir, boss.
I think they're competent without Meowth.
I don't think so. No, I think that, like, he doesn't even know who they are.
I thought I killed you in a blimp.
That is true. His insurance fraud. Jacob, you're right. I think he thinks they're bumbling idiots. I think he'd be like, why are you here? Where is Butch and Cassidy or something? It turns out that Meowth has captured three Whismur to give maracas to so that they can be his unwilling percussionist entertainment when Giovanni arrives. Because how else are you going to welcome the boss other than forcing some Whismur to shake some maracas in your face? There's also, as Jacob mentioned, a special device that somehow, and I feel like we need to talk about this. Like, what is this Bop-It looking thing that Meowth has that controls Pokemon? Bop-It. It looks That's like a Bop-It.
Yeah, it does look like a Bop-It. It does. That's
got little things coming out of it. Like, it's so weird. What is this?
Twist It.
What is it? Okay, it's Twist It, Flick It, Bop It.
Lick it.
Pull it. Ooh, lick it. Ugh.
What Bop-It were you playing with?
Can I just put this as like a personal anecdote? I actually beat the Bop-It one time and I'm very proud of myself.
You are very proud of yourself. You bring that up.
I know.
How do you beat Bop-It?
You play it long enough and then without messing up and then you win and it sings at you or whatever.
How long does it take? Like, do you remember how it was like
way
20
too
minutes?
Long. Of, yeah, way like too way long? Too long. Okay. I still have my Bop-It, you guys. It's somewhere.
Oh my god, bring it out.
I'd have to go looking for it somewhere.
Do a Twitch live stream of you playing Bop-It.
No, I'd mess that. Up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we'll do it in like a bikini in a hot tub with a Bop-It. People yeah. will really yeah, watch
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely. Nostalgia. But I just need everybody to take me on my word that I beat the Bop-It one time.
I believe you.
Just once. Never again. Just that one time. Okay, so we have this Bop-It thing inexplicably. I don't know where Meowth got it. I don't know what magical, like, demon contract he entered into to make this thing work. I'm not sure. Pikachu and the starters and Lotad have spied on Meowth and see that there are Pokemon in danger and they need to butt in and save them. We get some Pikachu impressions. He does his like Pikachu thing where he imitates and mimes the Team Rocket Pokemon, which I thought was fun. They break the Whismur out. And Meowth discovers in the ruckus that they've escaped. He drops his Bop-It staff and accidentally hits the button. So all the Pokemon in the vicinity are overcome with the dancing fever.
That's what started it. Okay, I forgot a little bit about that part. About why all of a sudden we just started cha-cha sliding all over the place.
And that's the rest of the short right there is 15 minutes of dancing.
Yep. Slide to the left.
How does one explain right. this? Yeah, exactly. What's the other? Cupid Shuffle. That's another popular dance thing.
The Electric Slide.
Electric Slide. That Wobble Dance or whatever.
The Tootsie Slide. Oh, wop. What, godly.
Wobble Dougie. Baby, wobble Dougie. Baby, wobble baby, wobble. Yeah.
There's Teach Me How to Dougie. Soldier Boy. That was a big one. That was a huge
oh,
one.
God.
I love how y'all are like naming like actual dances. And I'm like, the Electric Slide.
Boogie, that's boogie, an actual boogie. Dance.
You can do it. It's electric. So the Pokemon are electric sliding all over the place, but not for long because they manage to get their hands on the Bop-It and run off. There's really not much more to say in this part because like Austin mentioned, it's 15 minutes of this over and over and over again. But Wobbuffet does have a cool moment where he protects all the Team Rocket Pokemon from a Thunderbolt by using his Reflect powers. And nearly sends Mudkip to its death, falling into this very steep chasm that the building is built off of.
That would have been fun if Mudkip died in a Pikachu short and then never was seen again.
Never appeared and nobody mentioned it ever again.
That would be a good way to start a movie. Like, you introduce the kids slowly but softly to the concept of death.
I like how Mudkip's dead and they're all dancing.
We can't Guys. Stop, but he's dead.
What if the whole premise of Jirachi Wishmaker was Brock being devastated and trying to wish Mudkip back to life?
Oh,
I would take it because I would love a Brock movie. Oh, Brock yes. never gets a movie.
But like Brock wishes him back, but he's like it's wrong. You know, it's like
Pet Sematary.
Yeah, like it's eyeballs falling out. Like, you know, like it's just not looking good.
Yikes.
And Brock battles with it.
Every time this gives me Digimon and Skull Greymon.
Oh, you're obsessed with Skull Greymon too.
Guys, I'm obsessed. Okay. That would have been such a better movie. I think we should write the screenplay for that.
And they would have tied in together too, you know?
Yes. It would have been the perfect transition. We have a death, and then the whole moral of the story could be like, you can't wish people back. They're gone. You have to accept loss and grief and all this stuff.
And Jiraiya could have been like a mature, like, philosopher style character instead of like this baby that you have to like change his diaper every 3 seconds character. That's annoying. But yeah, that'd have been awesome.
Speaking from personal experience there, Jacob?
Yeah, it's on the brain.
Yeah, so it's just dancing, dancing, and more dancing. Not really much to say. I'm very sorry. Oh, but there is a Ludicolo, which just fucking appears, and I have no idea where it came from. What does anybody have any light they can shed on this?
Ludicolo heard the music and had to dance.
Where did it come from?
It just felt the rhythm and just was like, I gotta go here.
They introduced a Loudred, which was just happened to be sleeping nearby. Okay, sure, whatever. But then this Ludicolo just appears. And I'm like, where did you come from?
Where did you go? Where did you come from, Ludicolo Joe?
Ludicolo Joe.
That's another party song. The Pokemon start salsaing to their doom on this platform that's made out of like plywood. And they're stomping on it and breaking it into 1,000 pieces. And they are falling into the chasm. Finally, the compulsion breaks. Somehow, somebody gets control of the Boppet again. And they chase the Twerp Pokemon into the ballroom area of this building where, of course, Cacnea and the other Pokemon start destroying everything in sight, which is very sad. Meowth worked very hard to get this set up.
Does this building look a lot bigger than what it's supposed to be? Like, if you look at the outside, it looked kind of small. But, like, once we get in there, it's like an ant colony. Where there's like all these different rooms everywhere. Did anybody get that?
It was like a Mary Poppins bag. You just like open it up and it's giant.
I'm just surprised at how finished it was on the inside. Like you think the exterior would have been a little bit more focused on instead of the interior. But that's cool. All right. But we're in a ballroom. And then
this
Jack
is kind of like what?
That was a Titanic reference, right? Jack and what's her name? Rose.
Rose. And then it starts flooding, and then they climb onto the door, and Rose insists that there's no room and that you have to freeze to death. Goodbye, Jack.
Monk, if you have to die, the Atlantic Ocean.
You have to freeze, yeah.
And then Meowth throws the blue heart of the ocean into the chasm.
And then it starts the Boppet music again.
Yeah.
Jack's body comes up bloated from the bottom of the ocean and starts waving around, dancing.
Oh, my God. Like a wacky inflatable tube man.
No, the body swells up. And it explodes, and it lands in Rose's mouth, and she goes, oh, finally, I get to taste you one more time, Jack.
Oh, my God.
And then it ends.
That's a different movie. James Cameron is going to sue us. Okay.
That was the director's cut.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so this is just Scooby-Doo shenanigans all the way to the end of this. They make their way back out to the outside. Did this remind anybody? I don't know. It was giving me like Super Mario level or something. Like some kind of weird.
Like the colorful.
Yeah.
Like kind of like in those Mario games where it's like there's like blocks and giant.
Yes.
Tubes and stuff and they're rotating around and you gotta jump all around them.
It's kind of like, aren't there extra levels in like Super Mario Sunshine that's kind of like that? You're in sort of like a playroom kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminded me of that.
I never played it, so.
Missing out, Jacob.
I know. I never was a 3D Mario fan.
Fair enough. So finally, the Boppet breaks, the spell is broken, and all the Pokemon, well, not entirely actually, because I think this is where they take over the hysteria and they start dancing until they're exhausted and the building explodes. So
I loved it.
That they almost die in an explosion.
It's just so manic. It's so out of control. I was like, this is fun.
I think Austin's the only one that thinks that.
What can I say?
That's Austin's taste, though.
Taste, yeah.
It is a taste.
It is a taste. I like the taste of, like, mayhem. I'm like that guy in the commercial who destroys your car.
Mayhem, yeah. This kind of is crazy. I was watching this with Josh, and he was like, I don't think I've ever seen a Pokemon use a tool for, like, murderous purposes before. And that is where Loudred takes one of the metal pipes and tries to bash Seviper's head in.
Oh my god, and this Viper put up such a good front. He was like, I'm gonna kill you. And then Loudred swings a tire iron at him and he's like, never mind.
And he breaks the one support wooden beam that's holding up this entire structure anymore. But the animation at that one point was so intense, I was kind of shocked by it, to be honest. I was like, I never thought he would try to bash the Viper's head in.
It was super violent.
Now the Viper's dead.
God. Yeah, Mudkip's already fallen to his death in the chasm, so.
We forgot about him, though. It's like, we all made it alive.
Whatever. Who cares?
Someone's like, where's Mudkip? We made it all out alive. It's okay.
Who really cares about Mudkip? I mean, he barely gets any screen time as it is. But like I said, the wooden support beam is broken, and so the entire building crumbles into dust. But they manage to escape. They surf down the mountain on the one little... Well, actually, on the wooden door. It is the Titanic. They escape off the wooden door. Like, they slide down the mountain. So, that's it. Meowth's dreams are crushed. And I thought this would end with, like, Giovanni and Team Rocket, like, Jesse and James, like, helicoptering in and being like, what in the hell is going on? But they don't appear again, so that's kind of bullshit.
I would have loved for Giovanni to appear in person.
Why couldn't he have seen the chaos? Like, they're rizzing him up and being like, boss, come see our wonderful secret base, this luxurious ballroom thing that we have for you. And then he looks out and it's just a smoking pile of rubble.
Or he walks up and then it collapses right in that moment.
Yes.
Oh, that would have been good. That's a good ending, yeah. And then it shoots Meowth out and Meowth lands right in front of him. And just like smoking from the debris.
Too bad.
Did we notice we could actually see Giovanni's full face during Meowth's boss fantasy with him?
But haven't we seen his full face before?
No, I mean like in a Pikachu short. That's pretty notable.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so, because they didn't show Jesse and James's face. So yeah, that's it. Austin seems to be thrilled by this. I couldn't see the appeal. It was just 15 minutes of dancing. So
there was literally a sequence where Meowth falls into a cement mixer and keeps on dancing after he's being suffocated to death by cement. This is fucking awesome, you guys.
Oh, that's dedication. God.
Oh, you mean the part where they just rewind the same clip over and over and over again?
Yes.
To save on budget animation, right?
Correct.
I'm so glad you liked it.
Where Austin sees entertainment, we see cutting corners.
Yes.
Okay, what score are we going to give this for Letterboxd out of 5 stars?
5 stars. Jacob, go first. I need to feel. I agree with you, probably, but...
Maybe like... 2 cymbals out of 5 cymbals for doing music. Maybe 2 quarter notes out of...
Oh, like a cymbal, like a...
Yeah. 2 quarter notes out of 5 quarter notes. I don't know.
I'll concur. I'm going to say a 2.
Okay, I'm going to say 5 luaus out of 5.
5 out of 5?
Yeah.
What the...
Someone do some math. What's 9 divided by 15?
That's a question for a calculator. I can't do math.
Okay, so that's 3 stars.
No, that's okay. Average.
I guess we can compromise.
Okay, great.
I would have been okay with a 1, to be honest, but...
Did y'all grow up with, like, Looney Tunes and stuff like that?
No.
I just... Like, Tom and Jerry stuff, I thought it was kind of funny, but, like, it became very repetitive to me. Like, watching Scooby-Doo was entertaining, but the formula just wore off on me pretty quick, where I was like, I know what's going to happen.
That's fair.
Here, yeah.
I don't know. I grew up... I had Cartoon Network on cable, so they were always playing, like, the old... Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes and stuff like that.
Oh,
so I don't know.
Look at Mr. Moneybags with his Cartoon Network.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry that my neighborhood had cable in the 90s. Oh.
I bet he had the fast dial-up internet, too. The one where you could talk on the phone when someone was connected.
No, we did not have that, actually.
Oh, you didn't have that? Okay.
All right. Let's do the MVP, LVP, and quote? Question mark?
Question mark? Short? I don't even have a quote. Well, I do have one quote, but please don't take it.
All right, it's Alex and Austin, then Jacob.
Oh, the randomizer is really favoring me today. My MVP is going to be Giovanni for showing up in a...
I knew it.
In a sort of fantasy kind of way. But he was there, and I count it. So, yes, I'm giving it to him because I love Giovanni, and I'm a simp for Giovanni, so...
And what is Giovanni if not a fantasy?
Basically, actually, literally, so yeah. My LVP is going to be the Ludicolo for just inexplicably appearing and then disappearing. Is he the like source of the Bop-It? Like what, where, I have no answers.
Oh, he's like the spirit of the Bop-It that only exists while the Bop-It is activated.
I think what it has to be. I have no other explanation.
Great lore for this movie.
Is he like the devil? And that's what he comes and looks like.
It's like Death of a Salesman, but it's Death of a Mudkip, and Ludicolo is like the satanic figure that appears to make a deal with you.
Exactly. Did Meowth meet Ludicolo at the crossroads and sign his soul over? I don't know. My one quote, and I apologize if this is anybody else's, but I thought it was funny at the end. Meowth ends the whole thing with, "And that's the story of how music ruined my life."
Yeah, that wasn't very much to pick from.
No. Yeah. That's it.
All right, I guess I go now. My MVP obviously is Trico for resisting the call of the siren call of the Bop It for a good 10 minutes. And then when he finally gave in, he like really went into it. He was doing like a Saturday Night Fever thing going on. He was like singing and dancing and smiling and causing chaos. He was great. Y'all were not too pleased with the short, I know. So
I'll be honest with you. You can talk all you want. I forgot we did this part of the segment. So I'm like trying to think in my head what my parts are. So you keep going. Just keep talking.
Okay, okay.
I'm thinking in my head.
My quote is going to be Trico. Because at one point he says, "Trico, Trico, Trico," to the tune of "Na Na 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 Na."
I missed that entirely, I think.
Oh, yeah. I was enraptured with this. So what can I say?
Clearly.
My LVP is going to be the two of you for not liking this short. Just kidding. My LVP is actually going to be Meowth for capturing and enslaving these Whismur and making them use maracas against their will. That's not cool.
Yeah.
I'll give my MVP to Lotad because I like that design of the Pokemon. Like having a lily pad as a head, that's going to be pretty cool. I'll give my LVP to Mudkip just because it derailed our conversation about the the short. I don't have a quote, so I guess I'll stop it there. The quote would be the music coming out of the machine.
The Bop It gets the quote.
The Bop It gets the quote. That's right.
All right, now it's dead and buried, just like Mudkip, and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
The last short for a while. R.I.P.
Last theatrical short, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Well, it was fun while it lasted. Okay, well, now we're on to the main event, the big movie.
I got my popcorn.
Jacob, you said this was your favorite Pokemon movie?
No. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I thought you were serious.
No. When you talked to me, I was like, no.
What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite, Jacob?
Oh, I love the Entei one with the unknown.
That's a good one.
That is by far, that's not like, what makes that a good movie is that's not only a good Pokemon movie, that's a good movie by itself.
Well, lucky for you, there was a cameo at the beginning.
Oh, there was this?
Entei that showed up, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, there was an Entei. That wasn't the real Entei in that movie, though, right?
No,
but born of your dreams.
But it kind of like alluded to the movie, the Entei movie, because, yeah, what Austin said, born of our dreams, and then Entei shows up.
Best movie was number three. This one, well, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's do our 30-second summaries, but we each get 30 seconds, and we build on each other.
Oh, God.
How does that sound?
This is going to go so well, I can already tell.
Okay, first is me,
yes. Okay.
Then Alex, then Jacob.
Oh, I got to wrap us up? Oh, my gosh.
I'll go ahead and time you, Austin. Your first 30 seconds starts now.
Okay, so the twerps are at the Millennium Comet Festival, because there's a whole festival around this fact that this comet appears for 7 days once every 1,000 years. And they go to the magician show, and the magician and his lovely assistant Diane put a rock in their faces, and Max is like, "The rock is calling me." So he befriends the rock, and the rock is actually a Jirachi. And it turns out that Butler the magician is actually evil, and he worked for Team Magma at one point. And he has a plan. Okay, great.
Oh my god, okay, wait, I need to figure out where I'm at.
Well, we're about to be on the run.
Okay, I don't even know where to, like, pick this up on.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go!
Okay, so after interrupting the show, Butler tells him a story about Jirachi, and so Max wakes it up and becomes friends with it. May sings a really annoying lullaby that returns over the course of many times over this, which is horribly annoying. Max makes a wish for candy, and they realize that it doesn't really have powers. It just steals stuff from people. May has a wishing star that she's wishing on. Butler has a fossilized piece of Groudon that he's trying to resurrect.
Time.
And that was a really terrible
story. Oh, Lord. Okay,
Alex is very detail-oriented over there.
Yes.
I lost the plot. The middle's really hard. The middle's really hard. It's not the best. I'm so sorry.
All right, Jacob, wrap us up. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so we got to run away now because it turns out Butler's evil, and he's trying to use Jirachi to resurrect Groudon. So we hit the road, and we try to return to the homeland of Jirachi. We finally get there, but Butler stuck a tracker on her RV, so he's found us, and somehow he's moved all his equipment to resurrect Groudon into this valley, starts resurrecting it, and it comes to Godzilla, but luckily Flygon, some other Pokemon come to the rescue, and Jirachi, Ash, and the Tourist Twerp stop Butler from resurrecting Groudon fully and save the day.
Yay!
Jacob did a great job wrapping that up.
I know, Jacob saved that. He's like, that was some hot garbage, Alex, let me fix this. Thanks.
You got it. So we laid out some talking points, we'll hit each one, and that will lead us along the discussion. And then once we get done talking about one point, naturally migrate into the next section of the movie.
So our first section, the randomizer says I'm going first, and then Alex and then Jacob. So I guess I'm going first with our first section, which is the world of Pokemon introduction. Hooray!
Actually, this is pretty exciting. There's some interesting cameos that happen here.
It's our first real world Pokemon intro, and it's most notable for those cameos. We have all the Pokemon from the previous movies make little appearances, so that's fun. Mewtwo's wearing a Batman cape.
Yeah, he's looking out over a city waiting for his bat signal.
That's never going to come.
Because Officer Jenny would not work with Mewtwo. She would just, like, try and arrest him.
Officer Jenny doesn't work at all. What are you kidding? She wouldn't try to arrest anybody. She'd just be sitting at the precinct stuffing her face with donuts or whatever.
Kyogre makes a little appearance, so, you know, go buy Pokemon Sapphire version, currently available in stores, children. But also notable is Brendan.
That's exciting. Oh my goodness.
The son of Professor Birch, who has some interesting Pokeballs, and he appears to have a battle against a person. Cool.
We see Brendan. This is very exciting. What's his story?
We'll never know. He makes cameos.
A luxury ball.
Yep.
Repeat ball.
Yep. But this intro also introduces us to Team Magma, the evil team that's obsessed with watching footage of Groudon and gasping as it moves across a lava plume. And then we see a mysterious couple of people who we know to be Butler and Diane from later in the movie, and they have found a mysterious rock and a mysterious crag, and it's all very mysterious. And now it's time for the movie to start.
Yay.
That's it. That's the intro.
Okay. Very classic intro from Pokemon. Very, very classic. Mm-hmm. All movies kind of start the same.
Now that we have this stage set, we are in the thick of it. We see the Twerps, our heroes. They are on their way to, oh my god, our favorite thing ever, a festival.
This reminded me of Burning Man. I thought this was like Burning Man.
Yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, fire and all festival. These RVs pull up and they like start popping up tents. It's like, man, this is Burning Man. I get it. I understand this.
Okay.
Now.
How much better of a movie would this have been if they all like did drugs and like...
So much better.
And they started dancing. It was just a copy of that event in Paris.
They pull out the Bop It.
So I can't say that this is an annual festival because this event actually only occurs every 1,000 years.
A millennial festival.
A millennial festival, exactly. They're waiting for the appearance of the rare Millennium Comet, which comes around and is visible for 7 days only every 1,000 years. They get to the location of the festival, but nobody is there. And they're like, did we come to the right place? And I thought this was going to be way more sinister than it was, but no, they're just early. We get the fun montage of them setting up the festival equipment. Oh, wow, that's thrilling. All the balloons and everything.
Okay, you say that, you joke, but like, I want to know everything about those magical balloons that are able to set up an automated circus tent.
Yeah.
That's true. This technology is way beyond our current capabilities. Like, I don't understand the physics of this.
One guy's doing this too. This is like one person doing all this. This is not like groups of people. One dude is literally like waving a stick and making this happen.
We see the same guy that we saw in the beginning, the magician-looking fellow, and his name is Butler, the Great Butler, I suppose.
Because he's a butt.
Yeah, he's a butt. And his lovely assistant slash lover, Diane, is here too.
Well, they're not lovers, are they? I thought they were sister, brother.
No.
Oh, I thought they were fucking.
They were lovers for sure.
Oh, I thought they were brother sister. I got confused.
Jacob.
Okay, that's a whole different spin on the movie.
I thought it mentioned they were brother and sister at one point.
No, my gosh. I'm skipping ahead, but she mentions sometime way later in the movie that they've been inseparable since childhood and they like love each other. And Jirachi even says Butler loves Diane, so.
It's a brotherly sisterly love, Alex.
Yeah, please I thought it was that kind of love.
Please stop.
I think it's both. I think they're a lot more screwed up than we thought they were.
I did not think that this was going to take an incestuous twist, but here we are.
I did not mean that to happen.
No, I think we're going to go with the plot of they are not related, they are lovers.
Yeah, go with that, because that's better. That's way better for this movie.
Way better, okay.
I have comments on their relationship.
Yeah, we can get into that in a bit. So, yeah, they finish setting up the carnival, and all the people have arrived out of nowhere.
Yeah, where were the people at? Were they staying at, like, motels or something?
I have no idea. They're in the middle of nowhere. I have no clue. Although it does show the train tracks that they sort of, like, rolled out. Like, a train does come onto the train track. So maybe they shuttled people in via the train.
It's also worth noting that, like, this whole setup's kind of stupid because you can see this meteor from anywhere, we learn. As we travel millions of miles across the desert, it's visible anywhere. It doesn't matter. As long as there's not too much ambient light, you're okay.
But Jacob, you're missing the point. The point is to make as much money off of this event as they can in these 7 days. So.
Oh, I don't blame them. Yeah, cap on this one in a thousand years festival.
Could you imagine the markup? God, yeah. Oh, and what is the prices on this? Like, this is a once in a lifetime event, so you're paying like $50 for a corn dog. I mean, I can't imagine that it's
this
cheap.
Soap costs $100.
God.
Well, Alex, you have experience traveling to go see the eclipses.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the last time there was a solar eclipse, I did travel to a different state to be in the path of totality to see it better. So,
like, was it fun?
It was fun. We did have to stay kind of in a place that wasn't directly in the path of totality because, let me tell you, people will take advantage of the event. And when we were looking at hotel prices, some of the places we were originally looking at were insane, the costs of the hotel stay. So we had to stay kind of a bit farther out. But it was still a good time. We didn't really buy a lot of stuff, though.
Did an evil magician try to kill you?
Yes, I narrowly escaped.
Okay, great.
They're never worth it. They're never worth it to me.
I know.
I don't know. I was really underwhelmed by the clips that we had here in, like, 2019 or 2018. Everyone was hyping it up, and then it happened. I was like, that's it? That's it? What? Everybody hyped this up for that? Gosh.
Jacob's not into celestial events.
No.
But yeah, we have this festival. Wow, it's amazing. Butler is here. Also, Team Rocket are here. They're like carnival employees, and they have a job passing out flyers and apparently shoveling shit. And they don't even know what that means. They don't know what manure means. So I wish them the best of luck.
This is where the plot picks up a little. I guess the trains that we built are shuttling people in because this massive carnival tent is set up and there are people there attending. You get a carnival show and you get to see a meteor blast across the sky for 7 days. So that's pretty cool. Like, I appreciate them actually putting effort into a show while this is going on. Like, it's not like, does that make sense? Like, they're just not there to sell crap and pimp stuff off.
Do you guys remember when we went to that Apple Festival and how lame it was?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Y'all, we went to a local Apple Festival and there were no apples.
There was no Apple Games, no Apple Cider. One person was selling apple pie, but it was like very clear Stouffer's frozen apple pie. So it was lame. And there was an entry fee, which made it even lamer.
Not to mention the parking.
So where was I? We're back at the tent. And Butler and Diane are just putting on, I guess, their usual show. Obviously, it's a traveling circus. Since things didn't work out for Butler and Team Magma, he travels the world performing magic tricks. And it actually is very entertaining. They do a lot of cool tricks, and they actually show how they do the tricks, too, which is It was pretty cool. It was a very entertaining show. I'll give them that.
That's my favorite part of magic, is I like to see how they did it.
Yeah.
I don't care about the tricks. Like, I want to see how you pulled it off.
Yes. Like, there's one point where they bring out the... I don't know why. I can't remember why they brought out the stone Jirachi was, like, entrapped in. But they bring it out, and it calls to Max. And Max just, like, runs to the front of the stage. And then Ash follows him. And this is actually really cool, because Butler and Diane, I don't know if they knew it called to Max, but they played off, like, really well. Like, they're like, oh, we have some volunteers to join us. Like, if it was unplanned, they played it off pretty slick.
I think that shit was planned.
Like, they were going to see who answered the call?
Correct. Okay. They were like, the Jirachi's not going to wake up if there's not, like, a psychic tether to someone. So we're going to, like, show this around and see if any of these hundreds of people have a reaction to it.
Oh, wow. It's very Death Stranding. Ooh. Very Death Stranding like.
Oh, I need to play Death Stranding.
Yeah, I'll seem to play it.
Have you played Death Stranding, Jacob?
No, I just know about it. I like okay. I don't play Kojima games, I guess that's his name, right? Hideo Kojima. But I always like watch them because they're so weird and fun. Speaking of weird and fun, Ash and Max are down there, and they actually just put them in what part of their show, and they participate in like one stunt, and this is where it actually shows us how they do the trick. They put Ash in this, Max in this box, and they set it on fire, but something pulls underneath the bottom, like a lever gets pulled, and they fall at the bottom, and it rushes them all the way back to the top of the stairs, and they're like, oh, they escaped, and then they're at the top of the stairs of the carnival, and it goes, look, they're right there, and that was pretty cool to see how that worked.
They're true showmen.
I do think it's a lot less impressive in the Pokemon world, where there's animals that can teleport creatures, and also technology that can teleport you.
I disagree. I think some of the most simple and most mundane things, especially in a world that's fantastical like this, are probably some of the most entertaining. Because it's like, you don't need to be fancy. You don't need to do all this extravagant montage of stuff. Like, just simple things. Like, ooh, I pulled out a penny from behind your ear. Ha ha, so fun.
I like this scene because it shows that people aren't desensitized to cool stuff still.
Oh, okay, well, I am, so.
Oh, Austin, you're such a cynic. Oh, my.
Gosh.
I traveled so many miles to come to this circus in the middle of the desert and look at a comet. You need to have AAA production value.
Where is your childlike sense of wonder? Like,
I don't have one of those. I just have a Pokemon podcast.
Okay. Yikes.
Okay. So I found the show entertaining. Alex found the show entertaining. Austin, on the other hand, was trying to pour gas on the tent outside to stop it.
If there was a Bop-It that made all the Pokemon dance, that would be entertaining.
Yeah, I was like, Austin is over there thinking like the Bop-It short was like the best thing ever, and me and Jacob are like, what the fuck? Meanwhile, the actual cool stuff in the movie, Austin's like, pass.
Y'all just gotta dance. Let's make it a musical. How much better of a movie would this have been if everyone was dancing and singing the whole time?
Actually horrible, actually. So.
It would have been pretty bad. I think that's the main thing that happens at the show, right? And then we kind of get, after the show, we get the backstory a little bit about like who Butler and Diane are. Not the full story, but like we get explained pretty quick that Jirachi is like trapped in this thing and it needs a friend connection, a friend cord to awaken. And then I think we get into Jirachi waking up next, right?
That's the next segment we created, Jirachi waking up, because as Butler and Diane explained, Jirachi is only awake for 1 week every 1,000 years, which sounds like a horrible existence to me, but what do I know?
Yeah, and I just did not like Jirachi in this movie. I just couldn't.
Oh, okay, interesting. Did you not like how juvenile it was?
Yeah, like just how stupid it was for being that old. And then like I make it sounded like Boo in Dragon Ball Z.
I love Boo. I love him.
I know, but that made sense for that. This doesn't make sense. It was too juvenile, like you said. I didn't like it.
Well, I guess if Jirachi has existed for thousands of years, it's only experienced consciousness for a few weeks.
So what does it do the rest of the time?
Fertilize everything around it.
Oh. Yeah, I'm with Jacob. I didn't care for Jirachi's characterization. I thought the voice, which was clearly Casey's voice, was annoying. I didn't like its little pranky behavior. Like, it was just too childish. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And it knows what things are like it shouldn't. Like, was candy invented 1,000 years ago?
I'm sure there was some form of candy.
Yeah, some form of candy, but for Max to be like, I want candy, and then it doesn't, it's not even that magical. It doesn't make candy, it just steals stuff. Like, it's not even that impressive.
Yeah, I think once you find out that its shtick isn't exactly as, like, impressive, it's not like a genie or anything where it's like, you get three wishes and all this. That's Hoopa, who is the superior wish granter Pokemon. It's just a generic psychic type who's like, oh, I'll just teleport whatever you want to you. Like, boring. Okay.
Okay, I kind of thought it was kind of cool, the revelation that even though...
We are on opposite pages here.
Jacob's laughing at me.
We are on opposite pages here today.
I know, every single thing. Okay, Jirachi's based on those, like, wish tags that you hang up, right?
Yeah.
In Japan?
I think so. I'm not really familiar with the custom. Jacob, you've been to Japan. Maybe you know more.
I think it's like a New Year's or something at a temple. I think it's New Year's. You ride on the whatever Austin was talking about, and you put it up at the temple, and it comes true, hopefully. Or you get good luck or bad luck.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting that Jirachi is based on that. But presumably in the Pokemon world, that custom is based on Jirachi, based on the folklore of Jirachi being a wish granter.
Okay.
But in reality, it wasn't actually ever granting wishes. It was just doing what it could, and people mistook that for the ability to do anything.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting take on it. It's not special. It's just people hyped it up, and it somehow is it's connected to this. Like, it may not even be connected to the meteor. I guess it is, we find out, but, like, it may just be somehow it wakens every time it's around. Like, that just could be a coincidence.
It feels like Jirachi has, like, a key role in its environment, but we'll get to that later. Because for now, Mei gets her possibly culturally appropriative wish-making dream catcher device that she has. What do they call it? A wishing star?
A wishing star that she buys at the trinket tent from Macho Man Randy Savage or whatever.
I thought it was cool. I like that thing. You put it up, you put the comet in the eye line of it, and you put down part of it, and you make a wish, and you do it for 7 days straight. I thought that was a neat little idea.
Yes.
But she does that. She sees Max is asleep, and so she decides that she's going to sing him a lullaby. So she changes voice actors from Veronica Taylor to her Japanese voice actress to sing the theme of the movie, which... Y'all too, feel free to chime in and do that song right now.
Here's actually a funny trick. If you actually play it at 1.5 or times 2 speed, you can actually hear the insert of the other voice actress, like from the other movie.
Oh, really?
Like you can hear...
So you can hear Veronica?
No. Like you can hear where her part ends and where they like inserted the singing part from the other voice actress, if that makes sense.
Oh, there's like an audio glitch.
Yeah, you can hear the implant of the audio. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
I was curious about this part. I guess we were completely wrong. Like, Josh and I were both like... Josh actually asked me, he's like, can the voice actress not whistle? Why is she singing like that? The whole, like, do-do-do-do-do-do, whatever. I was like, I don't know. Austin knows about the song choices and music, so...
All I know is that was not Veronica Taylor when Mei was doing it, but later on, it totally is Veronica when Ash is doing it.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, wow. I thought that was an interesting choice. Yeah.
Hmm. Short on time, maybe.
Wasn't a fan. Thought it was kind of annoying, to be honest.
Well, Mei's annoying singing wakes up the 1,000-year-old Jirachi, and it kind of floats around for a bit. And Diane runs up and is like, I'll go tell Butler the good news. We can use this creature for our own ends. And the twerps are like, okay, you do that.
Okay, I never would have made this connection prior to watching that movie, but was it just me, or did Jirachi's big head, and like when it first woke up, it's got its big head, and then it's kind of swaddled itself in its little like wings, and it instantly reminded me of the baby from Eraserhead. The head
that is quite the comparison. Is that why you hated it?
That's a part of it, but I was like, why does this remind me of? And then I thought of it, I was like, oh my god, it's the baby from Eraserhead.
Alex can see any baby that's been swaddled and be like, it's the Eraserhead baby.
No, it was because it had a big bulbous head and like a little
swaddle
body.
All babies have
body.
Big bulbous heads.
Oh my god. If you've seen Eraserhead, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh. I've never seen this. Wow.
Doesn't it? I'm not the only one. Please tell me I'm not the only one.
It looks like baby E.T. kind of.
Just like Jirachi.
It's an interesting movie.
What is this from? Is this Twin Peaks?
Kind of. It's a
David Lynch thing.
Yeah.
So somewhat. Sorry, that was the vibe I got. I can't undo it in my head.
See, I thought the little white part of Jirachi's face is the head, and like the yellow part is like a hat.
A hat? What is it, like Toad's hat?
Yeah, like Toad's hat.
No, it's part of its head, right?
I guess it is part of its head.
I just thought the little swaddle part, the body, it just reminded me of the baby. Anyway, sorry to derail. Just had to put that out there.
I wish I didn't have that image in my head now.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You are so nightmares. Welcome. Yep.
You should watch that movie, Jacob.
By yourself in the dark.
Make them okay. What's really gross is the first thing that came up when I Googled that is it was like, this movie is based on a sheep fetish. And I was like, what is this going on here? Yeah. So,
have you seen that movie Lamb?
No.
No.
About the couple who steal a lamb child? Okay, anyway.
I can't say I have.
Oh, Lord. We can't be bored this bored already. This movie.
Okay. Focusing, Jirachi. Jirachi, as you've said, is a little thief. Because Max says, Jirachi, I want all the candy in the world. And so Jirachi seems to struggle with the concept of what candy is for a moment. But then we see it teleports in all the, like, candy and cookies and crackers from, like, a vendor stand. And Diane runs up and is like, no, Jirachi just stole all this stuff from, like, the carnival. So the twerps freak out and they're like, oh, no. And then they have to return it all by hand, which we don't see. But Jirachi, having committed hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of theft, goes back to sleep for now. It'll wake up tomorrow.
No, he just goes, I'm tired.
I'm out.
Can we talk about how Jirachi, how savage it is, and how it treats Mei?
Go for it.
Oh, okay. I thought, are we going to talk about that now?
That's part of it, right?
There's really nothing to say other than, this is another reason why I think I didn't like it, is because of its bad attitude. Like, it's juvenile to the point of being annoying, but then it's also, it's like a little, I don't even know what the word, like, it's just shitty. It's like, we need to get rid of this problem, like this pile of candy, this giant problem. And Mei is upset and she's like, get rid of the problem, Jirachi. And so he's like, okay. And gets rid of her because it thinks she's a problem. And I'm like, oh, this little thing, fuck off. Like, yeah.
It's like the kid that just keeps going, why? Why? Why?
Yeah, annoying in the worst way. Ugh. Mm-mm. Not a fan. Not a fan at all.
Well, who is a fan is Max, because now that Ash and Brock have been, well, all the twerps have been, like, enlisted to work on the stage show for some reason, because Team Rocket have been blasted off. We didn't even mention that. Jirachi and Max are hanging out all day, every day, and Ash is like, they're like brothers, only closer.
Kind of. There's a few questionable parts that, yeah.
Mei is very pleased that Max is a little friend, because Max is a friendless loser. And, yeah. The twerps spend the day working on the stage show. At one point, the scaffolding falls and is going to kill Mei and Max. And Jirachi's like, I love mortal peril. Max, chase me. So he steals Max's glasses and runs off, leaving Mei to get squished by the equipment. I'm sure both of you love that sequence.
Yeah, this is totally bolstering my love for Jirachi. Ugh.
Well, who else shows up? But Absol, a random Absol is here. And it makes a dramatic appearance in a mirror with its twisters. And it seems to be attacking Jirachi. It seems to not know what it wants exactly. But Butler captures it in a cage. And it's like, that takes care of that stupid thing.
Absol was cool, though. I really liked Absol.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. That's a cool-looking Pokemon. Its role is cool.
We didn't really get, like, an explanation for this. I mean, I know I'm kind of considering the entire movie, but I don't really think we get a good explanation either way. Like, where did it come from? Why is it trying to stop Jirachi? Like,
you get a little bit. It's like they're the guardians of Jirachi.
Is it?
It's passed down from Pokemon to Pokemon in their generation. It's his duty to protect Jirachi along with Flygon and some other Pokemon.
Yeah, it does seem like Absol had, like, the task of returning Jirachi to its homeland.
I wish they kind of had gone more into the whole, like, Jirachi's really a problem, and it's not as innocent as you think it is. And Absol is trying to tell everybody and warn everybody that this thing is not to be trifled with.
Oh, like the meteor is attracted to it, and so the meteor, like, changes course and starts flying towards Earth?
It's a dangerous thing, yeah, or something. I don't know, like,
That would be sick. Like, Jirachi's actually the evil. Yeah.
That's kind of where I was thinking it was going, to be honest with you, Jacob. Like, Jirachi is actually not so great after all, and it's kind of going to cause a calamity if you don't put it back into its rock cocoon thing. But, you know, they didn't really take it that way. Spoiler alert.
So does Absol have the ability to see the future? Is that what its shtick is?
I don't know if it could see the future.
It can foretell disaster is coming.
No, no, it's a sign of disaster. It's a sign. Like, okay. It's a bad omen.
I mean, people say that because it's tends to show up when there are disasters. So people kind of equate it with the disaster, but...
But it's actually warning people,
yeah,
right?
It's misattributed mm-hmm. to it. Yeah, so, sure.
So either Absol was able to sense that there would be, like, environmental turmoil if Jirachi was not returned to its homeland, or it was able to sense that this whole Groudon situation was going to happen and was trying to avoid that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's here, so.
There's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Let's go with that.
Okay. I'm going to go with column A more so because it's, like, it's trying to return Jirachi to its home.
Okay.
And it's like, if Jirachi is not returned to this, like, you know, it'll be an environmental disaster.
Yeah.
All right, so that's pretty much it for that segment.
Okay, well, in that case, moving right along, May almost forgets to make her second night wish. I can't believe this is only the second night, right? Like, I can't believe we're only just on the second night.
Most of the week flies by.
Of 7 days, right. So she happens to get up, and in the cover of darkness, she sees Butler spiriting away Jirachi to his strange contraption that he has. And we get a little bit of exposition from Diane about where Jirachi comes from. She says that Absol's here to take it back to Farina, I suppose is the place, and that she has a bad feeling about all this. And Butler says something to the effect of, no, he's waited too long. He's worked too hard. He's not going to let anything come between him and his goal and his dream. And that dream being he wants to see Jirachi absorb the power with its true eye. Because that little pocket on its stomach is not just a little pocket. It's actually an eyeball. Gross.
Ugh.
Eyes in places where eyes should not be is always disgusting.
Yeah, that is true. If you want to make a creepy monster, put eyes where things should not be.
Something just really wrong about that. So he's like, look with your special eye, Jirachi, and absorb the common power. And so Diane's like, bad idea, I think. Let's not do that. This is where we find out more about Butler's backstory and the fact that he was actually an evil scientist for Team Magma, because I guess we're not mentioning Team Aqua in this movie. So he brings his invention before the esteemed council, which I have so many questions.
Yeah.
It's why, like, is there an
Sith
esteemed
council?
In the structure of the Team Magma.
Yeah.
Corporate.
Sele of Team Magma.
Well, it seemed like everyone was there. All Team Magma was there. They were the special council.
It's a true democracy. Everybody gets a vote.
Right? Where was Maxie? Like, come on, please.
He was dick deep into Archie at the time.
Whoa, maybe so. So his experiment goes extremely wrong, and he's embarrassed in front of the entire council because he didn't have enough power to power his fossilized Groudon shard and resurrect it from fossilization.
Did I misremember that his mom was, like, a famous person there, too? Like, that's how he got in there? Like, his mom was the scientist?
Jacob has an entire backstory,
right?
Alex and I are not aware of.
They did not mention Butler's mother, but maybe she was a part of Team Magma. I don't know. We can pretend.
I thought she was famous and he was trying to live in her footsteps. Never mind. All right. I'm writing my own movie here.
Yeah, he watched a different version. Butler puts Jirachi in this little contraption and attempts to force its true eye open, which is just really weird and gross. And it sends a beam of energy to the comet and causes some kind of explosion.
We have to acknowledge how evocative this whole sequence is, right?
I don't like it.
Mm-mm.
It's gross.
The whole, like, what do you want me to say about it? I mean, he forces...
It's, like, very dark in tone.
He forces, like, a physical reaction from Jirachi. I mean, yes, it's very invasive. It's an assault. Nobody likes it. It makes you uncomfortable.
I would have branded it, at least. Like, I would have put, like, a giant bee on it somewhere. That way, like, when someone woke it up again in 1,000 years, they're like, who's this bee?
Butler.
Butler.
B for Butler. God.
Yeah. Made my mark in history.
Anyway, so we get this explosion, and obviously the Torps are like, what's happening? What's going on? Oh my God. And so they realize that Butler is evil and he's a bad guy, and they have to escape and do the right thing and bring Jirachi back. Otherwise, the whole world is going to explode or something. She explains a little bit that because his energy source failed the first time, he's trying to use Jirachi as, like, the ultimate energy battery to power his Groudon machine. I'm not sure why he can't just figure out some other way, but...
Yeah, have you heard of solar power, or...
Yeah.
No, that's not... They don't have that technology here.
No.
In this universe.
Okay. Just comet energy.
Comet energy, yep.
Right, that's the only way. And so Diane betrays Butler, and she's like, I have to do the right thing, I have to help. And so she steals Drachi back and flees with the twerps, but not before Butler's able to slap a tracking device onto their RV, which doesn't really make sense. I had this question. He has been to Farina himself, so why does he need to know where they're going? Because he already knows the way.
Well, what's funny is it falls off, and he still is able to track them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense.
A part of the movie got edited out where he got lost or something because it falls off, and they like specifically have a shot of it falling off, but then it's never brought up. So something got cut out somewhere. But you're right. He knows where they're going. I mean, she clearly announces that, like, we're taking Drachi back. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he has a bad memory.
Maybe so. Anyway, so now we're on the road. We're on the run.
That's right. We've got the runs, and we're heading out to go back to the how do you say Drachi's homeland? Verinia?
What was Farina.
It? Farina. Is it Farina. An F or V?
Farina? I thought it was a F. I thought it was Farina.
Farina. Okay.
Wherever that is, I don't know.
Okay.
It's in China.
It's in modern-day France.
In Hoenn, also France.
It really is in China, though, y'all.
Really? Wait, Farina's a real place?
Well, no. I looked this up. You know how all the Pokemon movies, they go to a physical location to scout for background?
Sure.
This, according to Bulbapedia, is based on, I'm just going to say it wrong, Wulingyuan, which is an area... in China, the Wuhan province of China. And if you Google it, you'll see that, like, this movie was based on a real location. It looks really cool, actually.
Oh. Hmm.
I sent the name of it to you guys if you want to Google that.
I'm looking it up.
Oh, it's a national park.
Oh, okay. So I see, like, the spires of rocks and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. This is beautiful.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yes. Kind of reminds me of Avatar. Avatar, blue Avatar people, not Avatar the Last Airbender.
I mean, I know the pictures are probably, like, filtered to some degree, but this is beautiful.
Wow, this looks like a different planet. This is crazy.
It's gonna rain there tomorrow, so be careful if you're gonna go visit.
Yeah.
Tell me the weather.
For the moment trip, yeah, to China. There you go.
Ooh, Alex, I found something.
What?
It says that Avatar is based on this
area.
Oh
my god, no wonder. Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
There you go. It all comes back to that. Okay.
I wonder, I bet there's a ton of movies based on this area. It seems like a very... nature, if the movie involves nature, it's going to be filmed here.
I mean, the geography of it is very unique. I imagine, Jacob, you're right. They use spires. It for a lot of, yeah, like maybe otherworldly kind of scenes, because it really does look like it's something beyond Earth. But anyway.
So we're going to that place in this movie, the Jirachi movie. I guess it's very Independence Day-like with this travel montage. Like, was it the first or second Independence Day when the I can't remember the actor's name, but like he has
Will
that
art.
Huh?
Will Smith.
No, not Will Smith. I know Will Smith.
I'm kidding. I've never actually seen that movie.
You've never seen both? Any of them?
Nope.
There's a scene where they're trying to get the RV to Area 51, and it's just driving across the desert, from what I remember. And it kind of goes like this, where it's like the terrain's horrible, so they're all just jumping around and hitting their heads in pots and pans, stuff's flying out. Did anything major happen here? I forgot. I didn't really. Trying to get there, and May is continuously closing her wish star thing that she got, and we get a little bit more about like Max and Drachi hanging out and talking and building a relationship, but it's rough terrain. We're getting bounced all over the place. Diane's driving
in her little booty shorts.
Oh, yep.
Did anyone else notice that? She had like the tiniest little short shorts you've ever seen in your life.
Those are Butler's, actually. She just borrowed
them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yes.
There is a part, and I'm thinking I know what they're talking about, but maybe we could kind of discuss a little bit. So Max is sad during, you know, his fifth, I think they're on the fifth day or whatever, and Max is like, oh, boo-hoo, I'm so sad, I only have a couple more days left with Drachi. And Ash has a very brotherly moment where he's like, it's okay to be sad, people come and go out of your life. And then he mentions, he's like, I recently had a good friend leave me, and I miss her every day.
Oh.
And I was like... Yeah. Is he talking about Misty? It has to be Misty. Or is he talking about somebody else? Like, what's going on?
Austin, if you know it, then you should know. Okay.
I do. It's a dub-only line. He only references a female friend being gone in the dub.
What does he say in the original, then?
I have no idea. Let's see what Bulbapedia has for us.
So it has to be Misty, though, right? I mean...
Oh, for sure.
Who else would it be?
Bayleaf.
Bayleaf.
That is really hard. Not to get sentimental here, but, you know, the voice actress passed away recently.
Yes.
Oh,
so that actually, like, really... When he said that, that actually, like, hit pretty hard. It was very, like, sad. Like, it felt real. Like, it was really real.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that kind of sentimentality out of Ash, for one thing. And it just... Overall, it was a nice moment, I thought, because, you know, we don't have a lot of Ash introspection where he's even thinking about people he's traveled with before. And so, I don't know, for me, like, him saying, I really miss Misty, in a sense, you know, of saying it without saying it. But, like, I was like, wow, Ash, you really do care.
Apparently, in the Japanese version, this is according to Bulbapedia, so take it with what you will. The reason he makes that face while talking about Misty is he's actually saying, oh, it's hard to put this into words. He's telling Max about friendship or whatever. No.
Okay.
Okay, I think the Misty line's better.
Yeah, I like that the dub added that instead of whatever you originally said. That's way better. But, yeah.
More impact.
Oh, that's sad to think about the Rachel Lillis of it all. Oh.
Yeah. Does anyone else have anything to add about the travel montage? It's not special. It's definitely not like really. A filler.
I thought it was interesting that this movie is predicated on this movie takes place over the course of a week, and then we skip through like 5 days.
Yeah.
In like a minute.
Why couldn't they? I mean, I guess they wanted the impact of like, oh, it's an event that happens, but why couldn't they just say it's like 3 days or something?
I think there's a sinister plot here where May is like so sick of Jirachi, she wishes for like 3 days to go by without anybody wondering. It's because like, hey, Jirachi, can you make it Tuesday?
She fast-forwarded, like, click.
Yeah, she's done with Jirachi. She was like, Jirachi, can you make it Friday? I wish it'd be Friday.
Hurry it up, yeah.
I mean, that is one thing that happens, is May goes from being happy, Max's little friend, even though Jirachi annoys the shit out of her, to being sad that the ending is coming. So that's a little thing to note, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. But now we're on to some super bad stuff going on, so take it away.
All right, this is the third act. We make it to... Wee Ling Yon, also known as, what'd you call it, Alex?
I think it's Farina.
Farina. We make it to Farina, and it's really cool. And there's all these Pokemon around. There's notably a Flygon.
Flygon.
Awesome Pokemon.
Oh, this movie made me love Flygon.
For real.
It still does not have a Mega Evolution, guys.
No, it does not.
It never will. I don't understand.
So the Twerps and Diane take Jirachi to a place because the Absol appears. Apparently the Absol has been running after the van the whole time.
Yeah.
Or maybe it ran ahead of the van and got there before them. I don't know. And Absol's like, okay, take the Jirachi into this cave. And Jirachi is like in a fugue state and sees the comet. And is like, the comet, it calls to me. And Max says, no, Jirachi, don't go. I don't want you to go back to sleep. And Jirachi's like, fuck you, Max. The comet calls me.
I wish you wouldn't go towards the comet.
Don't go toward the light.
They didn't really take advantage of Jirachi's wish-granting ability. Even if it's still stuff, it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, it's still stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what like you were saying before, Austin. Like we kind of decided that it never really had wishing powers. It was just something that people sort of... Legend kind of became that over the course of millennia, so...
It does make me wonder how many Jirachis there are in the world, but you only ever see them once in a great while because they're only awake for 1 week every 1,000 years.
You know what? This is why the whole Groudon thing pisses me off, because as we know, there are multiple of them. It's not just the one. So I feel like if Butler had been patient, it's like this is not the only Groudon that you can ever find. Like there's some popping around right now. Like,
well, that's what Team Magma said. They're like, we'll go find our own Groudon. Butler, you're a crazy person. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, so it's like, geez, relax, guy, you know?
Butler is unhinged, as we will see right now, because Butler has also arrived before the Twerps did, and he has, as Jacob said in the summary, set up his entire mechanical system in, like, the pillars of this area, and he's like, Jirachi's mine now.
It does make sense, though, that he was able to set it up, though. Because let's be honest, that festival was set up pretty quick. That carnival. So maybe they showed us that to show us how he did this.
Press a button.
It takes 30 seconds.
Yeah, let's give him credit for that. That we have seen that he is a quick mover.
I mean, he's a genius. He's just a crazy person.
Yeah, he's just crazy. He treats Diane like garbage.
Oh, yes. I'll get to that in a second. Butler grabs Jirachi and all the Twerps are captured in like his like purple energy net of doom. until Absol and the Flygon from a few moments ago appear, and they save the twerps because they're, like, super intelligent, hyper-competent Pokemon. And Ash is like, Flygon, take me, Max, and Pikachu up there so we can go get Jirachi back. And Flygon's like, whatever you say, Ash, I'm here to be your little steed for the afternoon. So Flygon the hero flies them up. There's a flying montage of Butler and his Salamence fighting the Flygon. And Ash distracts Butler while Max is able to get Jirachi out of that torture device. And they are able to abscond. But Butler seems pretty pleased because the device appears to have worked. And it's drawn like a cool etching of a Groudon on the ground.
It's Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah, Etch-a-Sketch of Groudon. But Butler's not the best at Etch-a-Sketch. And who can blame him, because that shit's hard.
It is hard.
The Groudon comes to life, but it's not like any Groudon you've ever seen. What did we think of this creature?
Lovecraftian.
Eldritch Horror.
Leviathan. It was cool. Like, it was just Godzilla, right?
I mean, it was like a Cthulhu entity in the shape of a Groudon walking around.
Yeah.
I feel like every time they do something like this in a Pokemon movie, this is reminding me a lot of, like, the Celebi movie as well. It's very, like, I don't know, Princess Mononoke. Like, I don't know. It just, the monster just feels like that.
Well, like Jacob said, it was kind of Godzilla. It's like, yeah, you know, the kaiju tradition.
Oh, and it's also very Akira inspired, too, with the with the tentacles grabbing people and pulling them in. Like, grabbing the energy sources and pulling them in. Like, yeah, that's very Akira. Akira started that, and everybody was like, that's the coolest thing ever. We gotta have that in our movie.
Is this, like, the inspiration for Primal Groudon many years later?
Maybe. Cause... I don't know. I looked at Primal Groudon, and it had some similarities. Mostly in, like, it glows from within, and that's what this creature did.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, speaking of Godzilla, it made me think of Hedorah.
Oh!
Yeah. I have a visual aid of a Hedorah toy in my hand right now. Hedorah, also known as the Smog Monster, is a Godzilla enemy that kills things just by existing because it's so polluted and disgusting. So that kind of made me think of this Groudon, because as it walks around, it's sucking all the life force out of all the plants and the life and, like, making everything infertile with every step. So that was cool.
That is cool. That is,
yeah.
But not only is it like a Deathbringer, it also has crazy powers, because Groudon spikes become blue tentacles with mouths that eat everything up around it. And Team Rocket and the twerps and all the Pokemon of the area are absorbed into the Groudon's physical being. This is a wild-ass fucking movie, y'all.
Yeah, the ending is crazy. And Butler throws Diane in front of the tentacle and lets her get absorbed.
I'm surprised he didn't at one point.
She does push him out of the way. And this is why I was surprised that you thought that they were, like, brother and sister, Jacob. I was like, she's literally like, the last thing I see is you, and I'm so happy. I love
it was weird to me. I was like, okay, maybe they're close. I wasn't going like that. I was just thinking, like, oh, they only ever had each other, maybe. I don't know.
No, they a thing. They boinking.
She called him, like, my darling or something.
Yeah.
That was really weird.
My darling brother.
Yep.
Gross.
Can we call that the episode title? No. My darling brother.
Please no.
Jirachi's kind of funny because May and Brock and Diane all get sucked up by this thing. But as soon as Max gets sucked up by it, Jirachi's like, fuck that. And it teleports him and Ash out of the tentacle.
Yeah, why couldn't he have done that for everybody? What the heck?
Fucking Jirachi.
I know. Hate it.
Who else but our heroic Flygon appears to be the true hero of the movie? And Ash and them ride around the Flygon for a while. Butler has changed his mind because he's had a change of heart, and now he's like pro Team Jirachi, and we got to get rid of this evil monstrosity that I've unleashed upon the world. And Ash is like, Butler, I don't trust you for shit. Why should I listen to anything you say? And Jirachi says, it's because he loves his sister so much. You have to trust him.
Ew, Austin.
See, that's why I thought they were brother and sister, because Jirachi said that.
Yeah, exactly. Jirachi doesn't quite understand human relationships.
He did not say that, though.
Gosh. No, he did not.
I have to be the voice of reason. I cannot allow that to stand.
He says, Butler can't be all bad. He loves Diane.
I think Jirachi's right, though. I mean, you can't, like, I mean, I guess in the terms of, like, the Pokemon world, you can't, like, have love for somebody and be, like, all bad.
I mean, Hitler loved his dog.
Oh, God.
Godly, that was extreme. Woo!
Whoa! I was not expecting it.
I think a lot of evil people are capable of love. Doesn't mean they're not capable of great evil as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I'm short-sighted here.
Remember, Jirachi doesn't know anything, too. It's a little naive little child.
I mean, I did say in the context of the Pokemon world, okay, and not like...
Okay, fair enough. In the simple reality that is their lives.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ash decides to believe in Butler. There's a whole sequence where they put Jirachi back in the machine and, like, Butler, I don't know, flips a switch or something. And now instead of stealing energy from Jirachi, it pushes the energy back into the earth below it.
He actually says something very scientific. He's like, we gotta do reverse polarization.
Oh, reverse polarization. That explains it.
I don't even think that is what that is, though.
All you have to do is reverse the poles, Jacob, and problem is solved.
Yeah, you just turn it upside down.
Yeah, flip it, yeah.
It's like a bop it.
Yeah, you just bop it.
You flip it, turn it,
twist
flick it,
pull it, flick it.
That would have been a great ending.
What if Meowth has the bop it inside the Groudon and he activates it and the Groudon just stops in place and starts to like swing its arms?
All they have to do is do the electric slide and then the day is saved.
Vogue your way to freedom. Butler turns the switch and it pumps all of Jirachi's energy into the earth, and that stops the Hedorah, Godzilla, Eldritch Horror Groudon in its tracks, and it like starts to melt all over everything, and it's really disgusting and claustrophobic, but really cool actually.
I wish that the energy would have directed towards Butler and then he became the monster
or killed him or something. Yeah. I hated Butler, but Jirachi gets like a boost of power somehow, and it has a kind of cool sequence where it launches the Groudon up into the air and kind of creates its own comet, and then it explodes into a fiery mayhem, killing everyone on the scene. Just kidding. Jirachi remembered that it can teleport shit, and so it teleports all the people and Pokemon back to the ground, and everyone is completely unharmed. Hooray!
Yep. Oh, the trees regrow, too.
I'm pretty sure the explosion happened before they teleported, so I'm not quite sure how they all survived, but, you know.
Just kidding. Jirachi could grant wishes the entire time, and it brings everyone back to life.
He wished on one of the Dragon Balls and brought everyone back.
This is teleportation theory, where, like, what Jirachi brings back aren't the actual people or things. They're clones.
It's a copy, yeah.
Yeah, ooh. It's sort of like the whole Star Trek theory. When you teleport, are you actually the same person?
That's such a good point. Wow, now you can chew on that for a bit.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, your cells are completely replaced every 7 years. You're not the same person you were 7 years ago.
Yeah, like you're the Austin cells of Theseus right now.
So, okay, the movie's over now. Jirachi goes back into its hibernating state, and it requests that everyone sings that lovely song to it. And we all are just filled with joy as they go do-do-do-do-do for like a minute.
Then Max takes the cocoon and throws it off the side of a boat and into the water forever.
Yes.
And lets it sink to the bottom.
It sinks back into the earth. And the next day, it's day 8 now, May realizes she forgot to do the wishing star last night. She was too busy being in the belly of the beast before it exploded and she died.
I mean, dying would kind of, you know, put a wrench in the plan and make you forget that you had to do your seventh day of wishing, so.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay, though, because Diane's wish came true. She and her brother, husband, are going to live together here in Farina forever.
I shouldn't have said anything.
I know, sorry.
I should just let it go.
I should let it go. Okay, she and her lover, Butler, are going to stay here forever. And May is like, I'm so happy for you. You guys are finally going to be together and you're truly in love. At which point, my brain flashes back to when they were in the circus tent and Butler backhanded Diane across the face and shoved her to the ground.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that he physically assaulted her.
He physically backhands her and shoved her to the ground. And this Pokemon movie is saying, it's okay, though, because he loves her.
All Pokemon villains get a redemption arc without a redemption arc. If that makes sense, you know?
He didn't have to do anything to change his ways. Yeah. She believes him.
I mean, to be fair, Diane does say once the comet madness is over, he'll be back to his old butlery self and she'll never have to worry about this again, so...
Oh, it was comet madness.
Comet madness, yeah.
It wasn't just his pattern of behavior.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault.
If you ever get arrested, just say it was comet madness and they'll be like, oh, it's okay.
The comet made him do it, you guys.
And that's why you guys may be surprised by this. I did not like this movie.
Because of the abuse of it all?
Because this is a movie that posits that abusive relationships are A-okay.
Yeah, I wish Butler had some redeeming moment. He, like you said, he never apologized. He never took accountability for his actions. He just was like, well, that's over now. Okay. Guess we'll all just forget about that.
Someone has to die.
Butler needed to die.
Yeah, for like the redemption. Like, he needed to like sacrifice himself. Something had to happen where he needed to like die to save the planet. And that would have fit into the theme of like, just because someone's gone doesn't mean that they're not there. And then Diane would have had to like keep the show going herself, but would have been like, okay.
But I feel kind of like Diane and Butler were in such a toxic relationship that she probably, even if he sacrificed himself, she probably would have like jumped in after him and ruined the whole thing.
For sure. Like, the ground's melting and she jumps into the muddy
goo. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, like Butler's like, let me go, Diane. I have to do this for you. And she either A, throws herself in front of him like she did before, or B, he sacrifices himself and she's like, I can't go on, and jumps in after him. And then the twerps are just like, okay, bye, and then leave.
Oh my God, can you believe this happened?
We'll never talk about that again. Yeah, never mention it again.
It'd be a better movie if that happened. Like, let's be real.
Yep.
And then the comet came down because Jirachi's actually an evil. Right. And is drawing it towards the planet.
Every 1,000 years, the world gets destroyed and just remade.
Ooh, very biblical. All right.
Well.
Alex, yeah. Do you want to talk about the credits? That's the last thing we have to talk about.
I don't remember the credits.
It was the constellations.
Diane's pregnant. Oh.
I don't know. There was constellations. There was like a bunch of nothing. I kind of zoned out. Sorry.
Is there something special you want to say about it, Austin? Is that why you wrote it here?
Oh, I just always include the credits because sometimes interesting things happen during the credits, but oftentimes not.
I mean, there wasn't really anything interesting unless I'm like forgetting something that happened in like the very last part that I maybe missed.
You get the post-credit scene where the real Groudon comes in and eats the cocoon that Jirachi's in.
Yeah.
And gets its powers.
Ooh, it becomes Primal Groudon.
Ooh, you know what? I'm so mad. They should have included like... Maybe they could have at least just done like a chest down shot of Maxie or something. Team Magma's here. And they're like, oh, that Butler was onto something, you know, or something. I don't know.
I mean, it reminds me of how Mr. Yesterday stole the amniotic fluid from Devon Corporation. But I guess that was Team Aqua, not Team Magma. They thought Butler's plan sounded pretty good.
Yeah. So we could have gotten something mysterious like that, but we didn't. Oh, and what do we think May's wish was? That was my other question. Like, she forgot her wish, but then, like, she's like, well, you gotta make your own dreams come true. Eh.
For Ash to love her.
Whoa.
Gross.
For Drew to love her.
I want Butler and Diane to stay together forever.
That's what she wishes for. She's so selfless.
Maybe she wants to become, like, the best coordinator. Like, what could her wish possibly have been?
To see her mom again.
Her mom's not dead. We actually do see her mom sometime soon. So
she was going to wish for more wishes. That's what all kids wish for, right?
That's what Team Rocket wanted to do.
Yeah, there you go.
So I guess we won't ever know, but the real lesson is you make your own dreams come true.
What's our 5-star rating for this one? I'm going to give it a 1.5.
2.5.
I'll give it a 2.
All right, what does that come out to?
2 stars.
Yeah, okay, 2.
2 out of 5.
What did the short get? There's no way the short gets more than this.
I love the short.
The short got 3.
Yeah.
Did it? Oh my God. Austin, that's because Austin like gamed the system. And,
he
like,
inflated the numbers.
5 or whatever.
You can change your scoring and go down to like a 0.5 stars out of 5.
I'm going to go -5 stars.
Yeah.
If I could leave 0 stars, I would.
That's good. Like those Google reviews.
Yep.
I'm only leaving a star because it's the only way I could put it in a review.
So, the end. Thank God it's over.
I like the music. I like the setting. The story content wasn't the best.
Nah.
I kept getting Butler mixed up with Lawrence the Third, and that was really upsetting for me. Because I'm like, they're too similar. I wish they would have some different sort of goal or, like, aesthetic difference. Honestly, they kind of look the same, too.
They should have just made it, like, the first movie, it's Lawrence the First, second Lawrence the Third, or second, and then just, like, kept it going, like... Who's the bad guy of the 10th movie? Oh, God, it's Lawrence the 10th. Simple and easy.
All right, who wants to do MVP, LVP, and quote?
I do.
We do.
Jacob's first and Alex and me.
All righty. You know I got to give the MVP to Flygon. right?
Yeah.
Flygon was amazing. So was Butler's Pokemon. I forgot what the name of that one was, but...
Salamence.
Yeah, Salamence was also really helpful. But Flygon, the true MVP.
This should have been Flygon's movie.
It should have been Flygon's movie, because I wish Flygon had more. Like, I wish you would have saw Flygon flying over them when they were traveling to the place.
Screw that. You know what? Ash should have ridden around on a Tropius and let Tropius have its moment.
I did like that Tropius that was in the crowd.
Yeah.
Alternatively, Ash could have ridden on the Flygon and Max could have ridden on the Tropius.
The Twerps have weak little Pokemon. They can't do anything in these situations.
That's true. They're useless. My LVP, I'll give it to Butler, of course, for the reasons mentioned during our review. He's just not a good person. I mean, it's an abusive relationship, obviously, but it's also, there's a lot more issues there that someone could dissect if they had more time. And my favorite quote comes from Ash, and actually I think it was that sentimental quote where he says, "You see, sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays behind with you."
Oh.
That's a very rare, like, quote from Ash about life philosophy. And it was pretty good. Good for him.
All right, I think it's me. My MVP is going to be... Who even deserves it?
I mean, I'm on a co-sign Flygon MVP, Butler LVP. That was the best choices.
Okay, you know what? Let me think about that. I'm going to say Jirachi gets LVP. Because it's an annoying little shit. It doesn't even grant wishes. It reminds me of the Eraserhead baby and just all around bad. I just can't deal with it. So it can go for 1,000 years, go away, and we'll never have to see it again. Thank you. Goodbye. My MVP, maybe Absol. It tried its best. Nobody really gave it the time of day, but, you know, it leads us back to Farina, and it helps save Ash and Max and them. I mean, we kind of rizzed up like Flygon, but I think Absol deserves a piece of that recognition pie as well.
It did what it could.
It did what it could. And unlike Flygon, it does have a mega evolution. So there you go. My quote is going to be the really funny one that we get from Team Rocket.
Darn it.
Sorry, Austin. We don't really talk about Team Rocket during this whole thing, but they did show up. They come back towards the end when this whole Groudon catastrophe thing is happening. And the meteor, I think it's when the meteor explodes. Or maybe that was before. No, I think this was before. Anyway, they show up on scene. They're there. Whatever. Who cares? Meowth says, "Do you see that?" And Jesse says, "Do you think I'm blind?" And James says, "That would explain the hair."
That was the best line.
Heyo, singers.
Savage Burn.
All right. My quote's also going to be Team Rocket. It's going to be the one we alluded to earlier, where Jesse, James, and Meowth are working for Butler. And James says, "This is the best job ever." Jesse says, "We just have to throw around paper." And Meowth says, "And clean up manure, whatever that is." My MVP, I can't give it to Flygon. I can't give it to Absol. I'll give it to Max.
Okay.
Because he gets his own movie, y'all. It's not the best movie by any means. But how great that Max gets a movie. You know who never gets a movie is Brock. So good for him.
That's true. Brock needs a movie.
Yeah, it is sad.
It's always Ash and Professor Oak from the past that one time. So I'm glad someone else got to have the spotlight for a little bit.
Sure, fair enough.
My LVP. Help me out here.
The evil Groudon.
Yeah, Groudon.
No, that thing was cool as fuck. I like that thing.
Oh.
Team Magma.
The Comet.
Butler.
No, the Comet was cool too.
Nobody gave it to Butler.
No, Jacob did.
Oh, he did.
Team Aqua, because they're not in it.
That's a good call, Jacob. Team Aqua gets LVP, because you know what? Unlike Team Magma, they don't get a movie.
Yeah.
Somebody on the writing team played Ruby version.
Poor Kyogre.
Yeah.
All right, and that's it for me.
Okay, gosh. Well, what did you guys listening think of this movie? Let us know, because we gave it a 2. Maybe you guys feel differently. I don't know. So what's next week, Austin?
We have the episodes Jump for Joy and A Different Kind of Misty.
A Different Kind of Misty?
Guess who does not appear in that episode?
Misty.
Misty.
Misty does not appear.
Wow, what a tease that was. Especially after we had an Ash moment where he misses her. Well, that's really great. I had a fun time summarizing this. Jacob, we are so glad you were able to return after so long and join us. Oh my gosh.
Thanks for having me.
You really are welcome back anytime.
We love to have you back on.
We'll work some out. I'll have my agent contact your agent. We'll see if we can get something set up again.
Okay, great.
We'll pencil you in sometime later. Got it. But no, really, we are really glad you're able to make it back after so long. The trio back together, reunited. It was really fun. Does anybody have any final thoughts to share? No?
Thanks again. Thanks again.
I'm looking forward to the next movie more.
What's the next one? Remind me, Austin. I don't know. I can't remember.
Deoxys.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, Lawrence the Seventh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lawrence the Seventh is there, and he tries to catch Deoxys.
Well, with that being said, and if there's no final thoughts, we will end things here. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we hope you enjoyed our special episode. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do that at our Gmail account. Write us. Our email address is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have a Blue Sky. You can follow us over there. Our handle is @outofthedryingpan. Same with our Instagram. Same handle, @outofthedryingpan. We also have a Patreon. You can find the link in our description. Please check it out. Support us if you're so inclined. We have all kinds of cool bonus content I'm sure you'll love to check out. And with all that being said, thanks so much again for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues. Thank you.